loved you that long.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm committed to you. Forever. Forever. It's how long I love. Forever and ever. Forever is a long time, and that's how long, forever and ever, that's a long time, and that's the message that God is telling us. He is going to love us forever and ever. Hallelujah. I was getting some background noise there, but hey, praise the Lord. God wants us to be with him forever and ever. That's what God's want. That's his will. That's his will from the beginning. Let no one fool you. That was his will. That he make us eternally. So, this process is taking a minute. Let me be the first to tell you. It's taking a minute. In the eyes of God, 1,000 years is but one day. So it's taking a few days. But he's making us eternally. He just didn't make us for a season. When God said, let us make man in our image, that was for eternal. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to have each and every one of you all. I'm going to ask, hallelujah, there's Evangelist Pastor Marilyn. Ask her if she'll give us a word of prayer. And then we're going to get in a lesson. Meanwhile, Pastor was doing something with her daughter, and she's coming on. I think she's going to be on the other channel, but she'll flip it over here. And she said if she's not out. So if you're able to give us a word of prayer, Evangelist Pastor Marilyn, are you available?
I'm going to pull over. I'm driving, but I'm going to pull over. Let me pull over. Okay. Thank you. Come on. Good afternoon, Pastor.
God bless you.
So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord God, we thank you for this day, for this prayer, for the Word at Noon. We thank you, Lord God, that Pastor Beasley is dedicated more than dedicated, more than a conqueror when it comes to the word at noon. He knows what he wants to do, and he knows what you have called him to do. And he is willing to be your servant to do all that you have called him to do in this season of his life. I thank you, Father, that this word at noon will go forth and it will cause people to know who you are, what you've done in their lives, what you brought them to earth, this earth realm for, and how to do all that you have called them to do in this season of their lives. I thank you for this blessing and blessing the word and blessing Pastor as he brings forth the word. I thank you for blessing every listener, every person that's on this line in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you are yet given the mindset of Christ so that people will understand how to move and breathe and have their being in you. So thank you, Father, for this word at noon. Thank you, God, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Pastor Marilyn. We surely, God, appreciate you and appreciate you, the prayer. Hallelujah. Well, listen, brother and sister, yesterday we introduced the lesson for this week and along with God's blessing. And I appreciate you pulling to the side and doing that for us. I know that was God, because any time a person can stop in the middle of what they're doing, pull to the side, to have a word of prayer for God's folks, that's God already. That's God right there. So I thank God for it. Yesterday, we began the subject or the lesson, the revelation of the grace of God. The revelation about the grace of God. We dealt with a little bit about the word revelation, because that's something hid, now being made known. That's what revelation is. A lot about the grace of God has been hid. And we're going to tackle the grace a little bit, because if we don't, you might miss when we get to the part about the revelation, you'll miss it. So it's going to become real important that we understand revelation, because the teaching, and understand grace as well, because the teaching of grace is seldom approached in most Bible studies. It had become an accepted fact that the pulpit knows what grace means and do not need it explained. They overlook the importance of this subject is to overlook the true character of God, because God is grace. Matter of fact, the word grace and gracious can be found almost 200 times in Scripture. The word comes from the Greek word charis, which amid the word, it reference to that hereafter attraction, and a lot of times people understand the word grace as something attractive or something attraction or some kind of attraction. But this Greek word often used to express generosity. So if you look at it from that perspective, that the word grace means generosity, we're going to expose God's generosity. Somebody ought to say amen. We're going to expose God's generosity without any counterfeit. That's what I really want to say, because it's so rewarding to understand when you think about God's generosity. First of all, you think about he's given you something, which is the gift of life. Because, see, that Christian word, exalt, the word really means a gift. And that came to mean the gift of salvation. That's generosity, something God gave us. I'm going to get to my part here in a moment. But understand, kindness is generosity. I'm trying to explain to you about the word grace. So when we talk about the revelation of the grace that's been hidden, you'll understand. Now, let me tell you this, the word revelation, if you will, for a moment. The word revelation, it really means to uncover, unfold, to make known something. And in the book of Revelation, when you understand the prophecy of Revelation, there's three parts that you get in Revelation. And I don't want anybody to miss this. I want you to get all of what belongs to you. And there's a blessing. Who all know blessings is more than food? Who all know the blessing is more than money? See, some people equate blessings just to tangible things. Just, oh, I got a car now. I'm blessed. People say they're blessed. I tell you what, you're going to get three blessings when you understand what revelation is. And the best way to understand is in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, third verse. It is that read it as a blessing. First of all, it says, who records the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. So John was given the revelation, and in this revelation, it's about uncovering the things about God. It's about uncovering the things about Christ. It's a revealing that you may not know of Christ. So what John says is, blessed is he that readeth, that's one blessing, and they that heareth, that's two blessings, and the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So you see, you get the trifecta. You get this triple blessing by understanding revelation, knowledge. So when you understand grace, you're going to be blessed three times. When you read it, so you read some of these scriptures, and you're going to get it. So in our day-to-day life, our person, we should expect grace. Can I say that one more time? Express grace. Why would I tell you that? It's because Psalms 23 and 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the day. See, that's a guarantee that whenever you look to your right or to your left, you're going to see goodness and mercy if you're looking for it. Now, if you're looking for a lot of negative stuff, that's what you're going to get. But I'll give you all some scriptures later, but it's important that we understand certain facts about grace. Then you're going to understand the revelation of grace. There again, the approach that I'm using, very few preachers will attempt to do this. But the revelation of grace must be known. And so we're going to talk a lot about Paul, because, you know, God had gave Paul the revelation about grace and let him walk to it. And at the end of it, God showed Paul that, hey, grace is sufficient, meaning it's adequate. Grace is going to take care of everything you need. Always been that way. And God always used grace, and God always found grace. So that's going to be important, okay? So let me give you the nuclear or the basis of this truth. Probably the best known meaning of this important biblical term is unmerited favor or divine favor. A favor freely bestowed upon those totally unable to pay back. That's what grace really is. So that's why I told you earlier, it's about understanding God as being a gracious God. Someone who's going to give you something and not look for anything, look out, somebody. I'm finna go there for you right now. You always worrying about, well, if I do this, what I'm going to get in return? Stop. That's not God's spirit. That's not God. God said, let him have it. It's okay. See, a lot of time we put the emphasis on, if I give, what I'm going to get back. But once you know that goodness and mercy is following you, whatever you have a need of, it's going to be right there, praise God. See? So, that's why I'm trying to break this down in such a way for myself so that some kind of way I'm able to articulate what God has put in my spirit about total grace. Able to return the favor. That's what I like to think. You're unable to give God back what he given you. You're unable to teach anybody. Well, I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand today. But if you ever in your life, someone did something for you and you knew you couldn't pay them back. I don't know, maybe they bought you a house or gave you a car, or maybe you went to jail and somehow, some way, somebody came and got you out and you didn't know how you were going to pay them back. And they said, don't worry about it. It's on me. See, that's what grace is. Grace is doing something for somebody and you're not looking for anything in return. Number two, they can't pay you back. They don't have enough. Whatever it is, they can't pay you back. With grace, you got to understand, you don't look for anything back. So grace is God's free action. So on the behalf of those who are without merit, grace demonstrates the goodness of God. And you know, it's been highly advertised. God's grace has been highly advertised. You can't go wrong. When you look at the grace of God, let me come now because I don't want to do that yet. But when I think about how God have advertised his grace, his unmerited favor, I don't have to go no further than your house because God done did some things for you at your house. And you still is not sure how it happened, but you know it happened because it was the grace of God. God has gotten some of people out of jams and out of situations, and you know it was God. God have answered some prayers for you. You know it was God. See, that's what grace is. And based on the substitutionary death of Christ, God's grace provided a way for God to offer the free gift of eternal life. And that's the point I want to get to. Never before that I've heard of that people really teach that God's grace will give you eternal life. Now, I know people, you know, they go, they dance around it and so forth. But I'm talking about the revelation in that. That when you die, and just like Christ died, you died with Christ. You're going to raise with Christ. You're going to have eternal life. This message is about your eternal life. Listen, dear heart, I do not want you to get this twisted. God is offering us eternal life. It's his gift to all sinners. So the Bible says we all have sinned and come short. This is another reason you need the grace of God, because we came short. Grace removed the punishment and grant to us the salvation we did not deserve. It is truly unmerited favor. Even though we understand that like that, I want you to understand grace through Scripture. The significance of grace is spoken by the Lord Jesus as he opened the book and read the words of the prophet in the synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus was known as Joseph's son. I tried to express this yesterday. This is revelation, brothers and sisters. When you read Luke 4, scripture and Isaiah have been placed to the side. No ministers, no priests, nobody was to read that scripture but the Messiah. No one. That's what you got to understand. The only one had right to that scripture was the Messiah. So when the minister gave the scroll to Jesus, Jesus opened up. That was part of his custom because he had to reveal to people who he were. So when he opened scripture, the scroll, and he found in the scripture that read, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. The people said, isn't this Joseph's son? They thought Jesus was Joseph's son. That was far as they can go. Because that's the only thing the optical nerve could tell them. They couldn't see the revelation there until Jesus got up and read this thing. So when he read it, the Bible says, wonderful, that the gracious word proceed out of his mouth. They say, wait a minute, ain't this Mary's boy? Ain't this Joseph's son? Listen, brothers and sisters, the gracious word to all had tasted his word. No reason in 1 Peter 2:2-3 is so powerful. I want y'all to understand, brothers and sisters, they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Well, you would think, what else they were supposed to say? When John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who come to take away the sins of the world. Everybody there knew it was the 50th year, the 50th month. It was the year of Jubilee where things go free. And they knew God had never missed. They knew God was going to give a pure lamb. So when John said, behold, the Lamb of God who come to take away the sins of the world, well, they was cool with that. Here's what blew their mind. When he said, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlace. See, they wasn't ready for that revelation. Because lambs don't wear shoes, last time I checked. See, they were looking for a four-footed beast instead of a two-footed lamb. They weren't looking for that. Like a lot of people today, they go by the optical nerve. They don't go by what the Word of God say. They're not ready for revelation. That's sad to me. That hurts me because it's like they won't accept God's truth. That was one of the Jews' problems. We won't get into it today, but that's why the Jews crucified Jesus, because Jesus told them he was the Son of God and he only do what the Father say to do. And boy, I tell you, when he said that, those Jews went bananas. They got angry. They call it blaspheming. Well, let me say this, brothers and sisters. I understand it. Because in 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you have taste, the Lord is gracious. See, everybody haven't tasted that gracious, that grace of God. They've heard about it, but they ain't really tasted it. They ain't really got into God's grace. And if they did, trust me, you're no longer babes now. You become mature in the things of God. Most scholars accept Titus 3:4-5 as the scripture definition of grace. There are other scriptures which are very meaningful, but let us accept this one for right now. The definition. And at your leisure, you can read that. That's Titus 3, 4, and 5. See, I want to leave that open because I'm going to start leaving things, see who go read it if they really want to understand. But grace expresses God's love toward those who are unloving. And I don't know who I'm talking to now, but if sometimes you may feel like you unloved or you folks don't care, man, you don't have to go no further than the Word of God. God's great mercy and His love, even when we were dead in sin, that's when grace showed up. According to Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. I might want to go there today. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 read like this. God, who is rich in mercy, I mean, God has a lot of that stuff, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. That's grace, man. That love turns into grace. You began to do something because of the love of God that's in you. That shows that grace, that you care enough. The Bible says, but God who is rich in mercy. See, when you start having mercy, you start, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it for understanding purposes. You know, mercy, you start understanding them, you start feeling some type of way about it. And that's what mercy does. And mercy say, oh, let me put a coat on him. Or let me give you this. And, you know, you feel some type of way. Even though it's not based on feeling, it's based on knowledge. His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ by grace. Are you saved? Listen, brother and sister, did you hear what I just read? Huh? Did you miss that? You don't want to miss that one. Even when we were dead in sin, look how grace came down through there. And He quickened us. He made us alive with Christ. How did He do that? By grace. That's how He did that. He did that with grace. And that's what grace will do. It brings it to bring it alive. Give life to it. Grace have always given life. That's what grace does. It gives life to it. And the Bible says, the way I understand this, grace expressed God's love. Think about it. When you care or you show mercy, you're expressing your love. You know they wouldn't have had that unless you helped them. Come on now. Y'all probably got some chillings out there. You know they was going in the wrong direction. They wouldn't have gotten straightened out if something in you wouldn't have come to the forefront and say, you know what? Let me help right now. Let me do right now. That expressed what was in you. I hope I'm making this clear. Some of you right now, you fight that feeling. You fight that desire. Well, you know, I helped them before. Oh, and he did this, and he did that, and you go, and then you let the devil in there. I forgot to tell you, the devil don't have any grace. I'm sorry, my bad. So he'll get you off of grace. Start talking, for a better way of saying it, negatively. You start talking without grace in your heart. That's why your words have to be filled with grace. Because Satan will slip in there. I don't care who you are. Satan don't care, man. You think he does? You need to read Matthew 4. He went up and checked Jesus. Satan don't play. You know why y'all think he go and check God, man? Can you imagine? He rises up against God himself. So what he care about you is nothing. So if he can slip one in on you, he'll do it. There ain't no grace in him. But it's that grace that's in your spirit that make you reach out and help folks, do for some people. And it ain't always because they did it for you. You did it for them because you know they needed that. See, that's how grace operates. It expresses what's in you. And that's what God shows us with his mercy. It is an expression of God's love. So Paul used the order in most of his epistle. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, so when I get to reading that New Testament, that's what I see. I see Paul introducing grace. That's the revelation. He'll say grace, mercy, and peace from God. He said it came from God. Didn't come from me. Came from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's God in you that's at work. Preacher. It's the characteristic, the nature of God that's in you. And you out here thinking, why you did that? Because it's the God in you. It's the God in you. Can I say that one more time, huh? See, a lot of people don't know. It's the God in you. That's what I like about Mary. They sing this song. But listen, brothers and sisters, do not get that twisted, man. That's the God in you. That's the God in you. That's that nature. That's that divine nature in you. Oh, I got some receipts now. Remember 1 Peter 5 and 10? But the God of all grace, all the kind of grace, kind in you, the kind in that one, kind in that one, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establishing and strengthen and settle you. See, God wants us to get settled in his grace. Know that that's Christ in you doing that. And it's Christ in you making this happen and that happen. Haven't you? Christ in you, man, because you're dead, remember? Oh, you haven't been reminded of that lately. Let me remind you that your life is hidden in Christ. That's why folk can't touch you. Some of y'all wonder why. That's why they can't bother you. They try. And I don't stop Satan from trying you. He try you, but he can't touch you. He'll try a lot of different ways, a lot of different stuff, but he can't touch you. Because of the grace of God over your life. Yeah. See, you're operating in God's grace like you never did before. And you didn't know why that was happening. Well, that's what revelation of the grace of God is going to tell you. See, because grace is the one of God's attributes. Maybe I should say it that way. Oh, I got to play you now. That's one of God's attributes. That's God's characteristics. And that's one of your characteristics. That's just one thing about you that people notice. That, you know what, you're a sweet lady. You all right, dude. Man, you got goodness in you. Yeah. They saw God's grace in you. They saw hope in you. They saw a better person than they thought they saw. Because you allow God to advertise his attributes through you. Remember, we're his temple. A lot of times people want to go in the building and see God. No, they need to see God out here, and then they need to see God in you, which is Christ, the hope of glory. See, in a building, everybody going to play the part. Everybody going to be theatric. Everybody going to get into that because that's what you do when you go. You clap, da, da, da. No, folks need to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. They may need to see it at the laundromat. They may need to see Christ in you when you go to the doctor's office or when you go here. That's why he said, go ye therefore into all the world. You know what? Because they want God wants folks to see grace in you. And then they won't wonder where that comes from. Hey, I know the Lord. They don't want you, God don't want you to tell them, oh, we'll go to this church. No, God wants you to tell them where you got it from. Like Paul said, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. He ain't finna tell you to go to Philippi Church, to the Church of Corinth. No, he gonna tell you right where he got it from. And not only that, Peter was saying, that's what that means. That's what that scripture means over in 1 Peter 5 and 10. But he's the God of all grace, who have called us to his eternal glory. So here he's calling the grace of God the glory by Christ Jesus. See, when you start operating in that grace, man, and you begin to get steadfast, and there is no apology for helping somebody. There is no apology for doing the right thing. And there's no apology for going beyond even your human ability. Yeah. You realize it's the grace of God. And you want folks to have peace. You want them to have the peace of God. And don't make me go there and tell you what James 4 said. I can go on and on and on. But I want to give me one more minute. I'm going to tell you this. And then if anybody got in the comments, you press 1. And anything you want to say. If you want to edify your brother or sister on here, press 1. If you want to make comments, press 1. But James 4 and 6 says this. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resist the proud, but give grace unto the humble. See, when you recognize that you're operating in the grace of God and you make yourself available, you give more grace. And the more grace you give, the more grace he's going to give you. So that means God got to load you up with stuff now because you got to express this grace now. You don't even have no choice in the matter. You done gave grace. God said, I got to give you more. So don't think the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusts. That don't want to do evil. It wants to do good, man. But you can't be a friend to the world because you're going to become an enemy to God. So you want to give grace. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. You do that by humbling yourself. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So submit yourself, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he'll flee. That's the way that works, see? You resist the devil and say, you know what? I'm going to humble myself and do more of what God wants me to do. Okay, anyone have any comments, words of edification, or anything along those lines, press 1, and we'll let you in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone. Hallelujah. Getting that background audio right there. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. Evangelist Sharon, I believe. Hallelujah. Wait a minute.
Hallelujah.
Okay, Evangelist Sharon.
Good afternoon. This was an awesome broadcast and it gave us something to think about afterwards. But, you know, computers have delete buttons and it wipes out everything before it and it goes on a new program. We as humans don't have a delete button, but we do have a button called humble yourself. A pie called humble pie. So the more you humble yourself, the more the old stuff goes away.
Come on, girl.
I want everybody to stay blessed and to stay tuned and tell your friends about this word at noon because this is hot. Okay? Amen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Now, you was preaching to me just then and didn't know it. Mm-hmm. Good word.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Anyone else? Well, if not, I thank you all for joining. And, hey, we'll see you tomorrow on the next episode. So meanwhile, stay